Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Luis Martinez Fernandez, who is a professor of history at the University of Central Florida. He is an historian of Latin America and the Caribbean who focuses on the histories of Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic. He was born in Cuba, graduated from a Puerto Rican university, and currently lives and teaches in Orlando, Florida, which has one of the world's highest concentrations of Puerto Ricans. Welcome to Background Briefing, Luis Martinez Fernandez.
Thank you very much.
And as we speak, there is a debate on Univision between the Republicans, largely, of course, between Romney and Gingrich, trying to woo the Latino vote there in Florida. But it's a much more diverse vote, isn't it, than just the Cuban Americans. However, most of the Latinos probably vote Democrat, don't they?
That's true for the entire state, as for the rest of the nation. And there's a term that has been used a lot, and that is the Latino vote. A few years ago, I wrote a piece for the local newspaper as to whether there was such a thing as the Latino vote. And frankly, there's so many differences among the different groups, national groups that make up that vote, that it's very hard to speak of a Latino vote, especially here in Florida.
And so do the press have it wrong, saying that this is an important battleground in this race between Gingrich and Romney?
No. Still, the Cuban vote is very important for many reasons. But even when we look at the Cuban vote, that population, that electorate has been changing over the years. One characteristic that is very important to note is the high education levels, the high voting participation level among Cubans, and the fact that it is a population that, for obvious reasons, breathes politics on a daily basis because of their own particular history. Now, when you look at the number of Hispanic voters in Florida, you will, of course, find a large concentration of Cuban-American voters in South Florida. But if you look at the state as a whole, while Cuban-Americans and Cubans are 29% of the Hispanic population, Puerto Ricans are not far behind. They're 20% of that electorate. So that is something very interesting to keep in mind. And it's interesting that while the news have covered the Cuban-American or Cuban vote in Miami, there has been virtually no attention paid to the Hispanic vote in Central Florida, and that's for a good reason, and that is that most Puerto Ricans, which constitute the majority here, are not Republicans, so they will not be voting.
So already the most prominent Cuban-American politicians there, the three congresspeople in South Florida, are all for Romney. Romney's already apparently won most of the 200,000 absentee votes that were cast before Gingrich's surge. The LA Times has a front page story today where they quote Julian Perez, who's a 70-year-old immigrant from Cuba, who is ruing the fact that he already did his absentee vote for Romney along with his wife and brother. And now he's sorry that he voted for Romney because now he likes Gingrich. And we're talking about 368,000 registered Republicans in Miami-Dade County. Three quarters of them are Hispanic. So when you do the math, it looks like Romney's already, if he's got most of the 200,000 absentee ballots already in his favor, Gingrich has got quite a steep climb there to catch up, doesn't he?
He does, and I think that's one of the big problems with advanced voting, as we do here in Florida and it's done elsewhere, and that is that voters forfeit their opportunity to change their mind because they voted already. Now, as you mentioned, the three major Cuban-American leaders in Miami have endorsed Romney, who is at this point, the establishment candidate. So it really doesn't surprise me that they have done that. However, I think it's very different within the Cuban-American population, partially for cultural reasons. There was a formula in Cuban politics that in order to be elected, you had to have some sympathy in terms of being agreeable, a charming candidate. And politicians of the Romney style, who come across as being almost machine-like, who come across as being very, very pragmatic, don't do as well traditionally, certainly not in Cuba, where the charismatic politician has been part of our history, but they don't do well in Florida as well, and that's something that, although there were many other factors playing, Bob Dole didn't do well. He would have done better. Then Al Gore didn't do well. There's something to be said about the charisma of the candidate. Of course, the substance is also very valuable. But when Gingrich said something along the lines of, I believe in grandiose programs, I'm a romantic, these are things that he's been saying in Miami, those are the kinds of things that are appealing to Cuban voters who traditionally, as part of our culture, have tended to favor the more charismatic leaders.
And, of course, Romney himself in 2008, when he ran against McCain, only earned 14% of the Latino vote in Florida. Again, I'm speaking with Luis Martinez Fernandez, a professor of history at the University of Central Florida, an historian of Latin America and the Caribbean, who grew up in Cuba and graduated from Puerto Rican University and currently lives and teaches in Orlando, Florida, which is one of the world's highest concentrations of Puerto Ricans. And we're talking about this rather contentious battle for the Latino vote down in Florida, largely targeting the Cuban Americans. But Gingrich, I think, at least they're both trashing each other's records. But Gingrich has, I think, a little bit of an advantage, doesn't he, in terms of the anti-immigrant, even though maybe immigration is not a big issue with the Latino voters. They don't like being insulted as a race. And there's been an awful lot of that gratuitous insulting going on the Republican side. And, you know, Gingrich has made fun of Romney's idea of self-deportation. Yeah. But he also did take a more humane position on immigration, whereas Romney was pandering to the right wing of the Republican Party. And he also made, and by the way, the SEIU, which is a union that backs the Democratic Party largely, it's running an anti-Romney ad in Florida called Two Faces that criticizes Romney for allying himself with this rather unpleasant anti-immigration crusader, Chris Kobach, and promising to veto the Dream Act. So do you think that Romney's just he's just tacking too hard and fast to the right?
Well, that's part of the story. And actually, Romney has a history of making very serious mistakes when addressing the Cuban-American community. If there's one thing you don't want to do, if you wish not to offend the Cuban-American vote, is do not quote Fidel Castro. Back in 2007, and then actually Gingrich is reminding the voters about this, in one of his speeches he said, Patria o Muerte, which is fatherland or death, which is one of Fidel Castro's signature sayings. That was, of course, very bad advice that he received, and he said that he misquoted. That may have very well been the case, but what is important is the fact that Gingrich is reminding Cuban-American voters about that snafu. Now, it's interesting to talk about the position of the Cuban-American electorate in terms of immigration issues. As we know, Cuban-Americans have been favored historically by special considerations going back to 1964, the Cuban Adjustment Act, and even before that, that allow Cubans to come to this country, claim some sort of a political asylum based on persecution or potential persecution, and they have a very easy time coming into the country, and after a year, it's virtually automatic that they become residents. For the rest of Latin Americans, that's not the case, although for Puerto Ricans, it's even easier to come to the United States because they are American citizens, and it's like jumping on a plane from Cleveland to Detroit is the same as coming on a plane from Puerto Rico to, say, Miami. You don't have to show any documents. So there are two interesting forces that are here in opposition. On the one hand, because of the conservatism of the older Cuban voter, they have usually embraced a package of conservatism, which includes postures that are not favorable to immigration. However, and we have seen a dramatic change over the years, particularly when in 2008, Republicans embraced full-heartedly an anti-immigrant position, many Cubans became aware of how this was actually a racist position. So even though for them the issue of immigration is not as important as for Mexican Americans, they have begun to see that we cannot stand by this kind of position.
Well, that's what I was assuming, that it was a kind of collective insult. What do you make then, Luis Martinez Fernandez, of Romney's promise to reinstate the 2004 travel restrictions to Cuba that were lifted by the Obama administration? My understanding is, we could talk about how counterintuitive and counterproductive the 60-plus year-long embargo has been. It's basically kept the Castro brothers in power, I think, by most measures. The flights back and forth and the ability of Cuban Americans in Florida to help out their relatives in Cuba, I think is quite popular. It may not be popular with the old diehard anti-Castro Cubans, but I think the younger generation understand the pragmatic necessity of keeping those ties open.
Yes, that's a very important question. If you look at the numbers of Cubans in this country, what Romney is doing is he's pandering to the most extremist element within the Cuban-American community. If you look at the changing phase of the Cuban and Cuban-American population in Miami, we're talking about almost 400,000 Cubans that have come since 1998. We're also talking about a second and third generation of Cuban Americans who actually are against that kind of hard line. So he's pandering to that dwindling core of hardliners because it's still a favorable thing to do now, but this is something that is going to change. And by the way, the limiting of the travel to Cuba is something that is rejected by the population of the United States in general, which generally favors more opening and that it be easier for Cubans to send money back home.
Well, you have, because of the power of that Cuban-American lobby, you've got some ridiculous things like Radio Martí that's jammed every day, yet people show up and waste taxpayers' money making broadcasts that nobody sees. So there's a kind of absurdity to this sclerotic war that's been going on for over 60 years. I thank you for joining us here today, Luis Martinez Fernandez, and for filling us in on what's happening down in your state in terms of the Latino vote.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Luis Martinez Fernandez, who is a professor of history at the University of Central Florida. He is an historian of Latin America and the Caribbean who focuses on the histories of Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic. He was born in Cuba, graduated from Puerto Rican University, and currently lives and teaches in Orlando, Florida, which has one of the world's largest concentrations of Puerto Ricans. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be joined in the studio by a former CIA officer who has written a brand new bestseller, The Interrogator, an Education.
Time to send someone away. Got my back covered. count. It's absurd.